you have a talk on the paper that I've written with Adam Ritz and Michel Aloshin about a year ago. And this is somewhat away from the WIMP kind of physics that was mostly discussed in this conference, but say much closer to it, or indeed directly related to the subjects that were brought up in the CDMS and Dharma Lieber talk, and that is specifically on the issue of very light particles in tens of kV major range of mass that are extremely weakly interacting, not necessarily stable, being absorbed by atoms and creating ionization signatures. I will try to brief you on this subject, and my main message is that all these direct detection experiments could be used, of course, for searching for this unusual kind of dark matter. Although, you know, there's just how do we know what's usual dark matter and what is not? This is a completely open field right now, as far as I can tell. Maybe I'll conclude with some others of possibilities. So that's an old picture, but everyone knows what it is. We have 25% universe energy budget out of non-relativistic matter, out of which, again, 80% is composed of dark matter. We don't know its identity. And as a community, we invest a lot of money into the attempts to detect, maybe, if we are lucky, the dark matter. So this is my idea of dark matter detection experiment, but with Nigel here, I think one day I'll see that. Right? So this is a usual dark matter detection, so it's somewhere, and lots of money being put in, a much better experiment with a much deeper, bigger cavern with even more money. So my general, and everyone kind of concentrates on a very physically, physics-wise, very well-modulated case of massive particles that have, I don't know, TeV mass, 1 MeV kinetic energy. They come in, they bump on the nucleus, they share some of a portion of their kinetic energy with the nucleus, and you detect that. So for a long, long time, much of the output was just still predominantly this one plot, right? And what I liked this DMS and other talks in particular is just the field is actually much wider, right? So you can take basically the fact that these are very, very sensitive devices and look for any kind of new physics that could be an emission of things coming from the sun, or can be absorption of dark matter particles that are unstable. So that's the main message of this slide, is that we should diversify physics searches at direct detection in particular, and do analysis of whatever crazy signatures that can be out there. So that's basically what I just said. So suppose you have some very weakly coupled particle. I call it super weakly coupled. Not super refers not to supersymmetry, but more towards super weak, right? So then one of Wolfenstein super weak interactions. So if you have some interaction suppressed by some humanitarian scale, 10 to the 10 GeV, there's some standard model current over here, let's say. Current what are the chances of ever seeing such interaction? Suppose this is the dark matter, right? If you just take the sigma and square, say, so thinking of this as 10 to the 10 GeV squared, you immediately get something like 30 milligram times 10 to the minus 20. And that's when you see this cross section, you think, oh no, I got no chance with that. But that's not true, actually. And the thing that goes for you is that if you have a 10 keV particle, then the number density, of course, of these things is so much bigger than the number density of one TeV particle. That's one thing. Another thing, when it's unstable and being absorbed, you are no longer proportional to the small velocity of the WIMP mass as your signal. Usually, this well, no, that's how the signal scales, right? It's absorption cross section times the number of density of the particles times the velocity. But for absorptive cross sections, sigma v is the constant, right? So therefore, you are not punished by 10 to minus v flux in some sense. So if you kind of compare it with some sort of a fiducial sensitivity to WIMPs of the with the cross section on the nucleus on the order of 10 to the minus 36 centimeters squared, and doing this very very naive kind of Tully counting, you end up with actually very similar number of events. That of course doesn't mean that you will be detecting it with the same efficiency, because the signals are intrinsically different. One is recoil, the other one is more like the ionization. So my initial motivation came, well, I actually paid attention to this paper by part of Dharma collaboration in 2005, but then things became very interesting over a year ago when this additional pieces of data were published. And the statement of this paper is that we can take a wider approach and start looking at the absorption of these particles. Maybe this is responsible for the modulation. And this is just this interaction that I had. This is an axion-like particle. It could be some couplings to photons. This is the formula from that paper. In principle, the idea is very nice, because you can say, well, you know, what happens is that gamma doesn't have a super good rejection of recoil versus ionization. Could pick it up, but the other experiments could make a, you know, dedicated effort to cast it as background. So this is, you know, very very legitimate observation. And if you look through this paper, you'll find some calculation of recoil. Counting rate due to the absorption. And so it's like some complicated formula, some over the electronic shells. This is a coupling constant here, which is the inverse of this FA. And the thing that you notice, it's very unusual, is the velocity squared. That's the point where you start wondering what's going on, because if you're many of you know, of course, that when you have an absorptive cross-section, like I said, for slow incoming particles and dark matter particles, very slow, the cross-section scales as sigma v, a constant, right? This, incidentally, this is part of the citation for Enrico Fermi, Nobel Prize in 1938. So something is wrong. There's definitely something is wrong. And it took a while, maybe not too long, to actually discover what's wrong in this paper. And it's interesting, in the appendix, the Schrödinger equation for the subsidence, the wave function of an electron, this is the Schrödinger equation, this is, you know, Pauli term, this is the interaction with the with the axion field, and what you immediately notice that this somehow doesn't square up with what you think it should be, because it's a sigma times the gradient of the axion field, and actually a leading term is missing, right? So the actual Lorentz proper combination has to include the time derivative of the axion field, and the time derivative here translates to the axion mass because it's almost a static thing, and this translates to an axion momentum, and that's where the velocity in the amplitude and velocity squared in the cross section formula in the previous slide comes from. Well, I can only say that this equation is wrong because it's missing the first term. The first term proportional to the velocity of atomic electrons. The velocity of atomic electrons is z alpha, and it's not small in some sense, right? It's 0.1, and this is 10 to the minus 3. So when in the final formula, they say if you just throw away this term and use this one, you get an extra unphysical 10 to minus 4 suppression. Well, interestingly enough, this term, or rather dropping of this term, comes not from this paper, but this paper employs the previous calculations by Lin, Starkman, and Dimopoulos, and it goes back 25 years ago, which turned out to be wrong. For what they were doing, it didn't matter because they were looking at the absorption of relativistic axions. So it doesn't matter, right? But in this particular case, it matters big time because the velocities are very small. And well, this is in a way it's disappointing for this explanation of gamma, because sigma v. From the main term, where we're dominated by this term, comes out to be constant. So there is no actual modulation unless you start trying to hook up some models where you maybe are very, very close to resonance, but it's very unlikely. Well, we decided to have a broader look at the subject and have a look at the axion-like particles, maybe at other things, and just investigate whether you could be searching, not necessarily for modulation, but for the absorption signal in the direct detection, and whether you can actually be competitive with other bots, because this whenever you have a KV-scale particles, you start thinking, what happens with the star cooling rates, what happens with other things. Let me walk you through a couple of models and show you that some of them are actually probably not such in particular the axion-like particles. It's not such a great interesting subject for direct detection because you can get better limits from elsewhere. But for some things, the direct detection is the way to go actually. Just remind people that we've been looking so far in this conference, it was mostly this weird paradox that you have a very, very hot universe, you have lots of stuff, but its interaction is order one, maybe order alpha. Then you freeze out, but the WIMPs are stable, you deplete them through the picobaron size cross section, there you go. What I'm talking here about is more like this sterile neutrino business that as dark matter as people have looked at it many, many years. So it's mostly you assume that there is same or nothing, right, for example, in these particles, and then you have some standard model leakage into this, and you populate it just, right? So if these are particles, say, in hundreds of KV range, you make sure that your rate is never catching up with the Hubble, otherwise you overclose the universe. But it's a possibility, right? The third possibility is that you completely have You don't worry about thermal production, but you have some enormous buildup of the axion number density from the start, and the masses are like QCD axion masses first. So if you kind of look at this model in particular, you find out that, well, this is all in terms of effective operators, you don't know really, right? But let's normalize this interaction with electrons on this scale, arbitrary scale FA. What also matters is the couplings to photons, and depending on your ultraviolet completion, you can actually have either enhanced the C gamma or suppressed, depending with which way the loops go, or it can be even further suppressed by MA over ME. So there are various possibilities possible. You can even have, this is of course, this model and the mass of the axon are fully protected by the shift symmetry and so on. But you can, may entertain the idea of having the, even the scalar particle, if you choose this FS scale to be that high as 10 to the 10 GeV, there is no immediate sort of technical nationalness issue if you cut your stuff at the electrons.
So if you don't consider the high derivative of axion.
Yeah, you could. I mean, but if you normalize it on this humongous scale FA, so the consequences of higher than even more dimension, say 6, 7, and so on, operators will be small. Well, next model, it was one model that we looked at, and I'll show you the results soon. Another model that we looked at. It was actually the very same model, but in a different regime of parameters, was discussed a lot yesterday. This is the mixing of the regular photon with the dark photon, the kinetic mixing. And the nice feature that Bolden noticed that this is it, right? You don't need any UV completion. This model is fully self-contained, right? You can trade one derivative inside here, and what you get is some sort of massive photon. I, of course, assume that this sector breaks this additional U1 and you have a massive photon. So you have some massive photon that is coupled to electromagnetic current with suppressed strength that reflects this mixing parameter, and somewhat introduces the coupling alpha prime, which is just the kappa squared, or other groups use different notation, epsilon squared, doesn't matter, the rescaled coupling. And kappa, for the business that we're going to talk about, is very, very, very small, like 10 to minus 10. Well, let me first go over this simple model. So you have, of course, the requirement that you don't want your axions to decay by 10 billion years, otherwise there's no dark matter. So that sets a rather mild limit on this C gamma coefficient, but among those three possibilities, it selects only one, actually, that C gamma has to be proportional to an additional power. A ratio of mass of the electron, MA over mass of the electron squared. Well, the interaction Hamiltonian with an electron is given by this, and in non-deterministic regime, like I said, this is the leading term. The other term that was retained in this Dhamma paper, it's not actually relevant for anything. And then the cross-section, notice that indeed in the limit of small velocity, right? This doesn't go to zero, right? It remains constant. So if you take a relativistic calculation, and that's what the initially positive calculation did, and multiply by V over C, 10 to minus 3, you punish yourself by two orders of magnitude. So that's the normalization of absorption of these axions only for the electric effect. And that's relatively easy estimate, not, well, it's a calculation if you like, and this is, of course, normalized, this is absorption of particles of mass MA, normalized on the photo absorption of photons with energies equal to M. It's the one-to-one relate, of course, up to this unknown constant.
And if this ever becomes a field of serious studies, one could improve possible atomic calculations with proper atomic physics, not just one particle approximation.
How much do you think would that change?
Maybe 30%. The closer to the threshold, the more complicated, right? Mm-hmm. So 10 keV, you know, if you are in 100 of keV regime, then probably you just fine using this Born formula, and you know, you could, but in it's like the photoelectric curve, right? If you are in this scaling regime of 1 over omega to whatever, 7.5, then you're doing fine, but close to the threshold of reality. More careful. Anyways, we also discovered that there are people who are deeply caring about axioms, right? And on the insistence of Georg, we actually found out that you know, he checked our results, and he said, well, this disagrees with this calculation. And we went there and checked that indeed they also missed this leading term. And this is the correct expression for the amplitude, and they have only this part. For the absorption of solar relativistic axioms, the result changes by a factor of 2. It actually becomes twice as large as before. Right, so here's the constraints that it's basically the very flat constraints on, and this is this coefficient FA, the log of it, right, you can see that it's around 10 to the 9 here, the supernova cooling constraints, the horizontal branch stars cooling. Then here we just approximately put the contour of sensitivity, right, because it's just naively thinking that this would be equivalent to the sensitivity to WIMPs with 10 to the minus 36 centimeters squared or something, or total cross section. I should emphasize total cross section, but not kernel. Anyways, here are some ideas where the abundance constraint should be. Should the ability produce thermally out of top and bottom forces and so on? But things that completely kind of make this model not really appealing for any further improvement in the direct detection side is the gamma background. Because these axions, as I said, they live longer than the lifetime of the universe, so what? They still decay once in a while, producing 2 gamma, and this constraints from this gamma background, which are, you know, sweeping everything. And for the signal, right, this gotta be squared, so it's orders of magnitude away. So you, unless you cook up some way of, you know, not decaying this stuff into 2 gamma, that's almost impossible, you know, to do anything and to improve this the constraints on this model. So in other words, galactic gamma background is the dominant case. Well, this is not the case for the vector thing, right? So we were talking about the 10 keV vectors or so, and in a vector particle cannot go to the 2 gamma, right? I mean, it has to go to 3 at the very least, and the effect happens through the light-by-light scattering diagram, so you have electron loop and the 3 gammas attached and the vector coming in, and thanks to the supreme calculational power of Misha Volochin, we got this thing right, and
You can see that even before you start putting constraints, you just saw the base case factors and loop factors, you have 10 to minus 8 in front. And of course, you have a huge suppression of the lifetime out of the in this decay, because the amplitude is if you integrate out electrons is a higher dimensional operator of dimensionality 8. Right. So then therefore the amplitude actually scales as the mass of this vector particle to the power 9. For 10 keV particles, you don't have to assume kappa very small to be actually in a reasonable shape. Well, you can go through the thermal population, estimating thermal population of these things. And it turns out that unlike with the axiom case where you are sensitive to high dimensional operators, so you're naturally driven towards high energies. With the vector here, you're not, because you everything is in terms of relevant operators or marginal operators. So you're actually producing this stuff at a very vast charge threshold that you have available. So you emit this stuff at the electron positron annihilation threshold, more or less. And for that, it's just, at that point, you actually have to also include the thermal damping of photons and so on. That's an important effect. In the end, demanding that this emission gives you relic abundance of dark matter, you end up with this estimate of having alpha prime 10 to minus 20 relative to alpha are actually quite right. And the only thing we haven't looked here is the non-thermal mechanism, because you could have some fluctuations in this original Higgs field associated with this new vector that also translates into some energy density. The V electric effect, the absorption of this thing, is trivially scaling, right? It's like a photoelectric absorption at the same frequency. You notice that sigma V again is a constant. Right, so the corrections to this formula are all, in some sense, Z alpha corrections. So for heavy elements, it could be a significant correction. For light elements, it's a significant correction. So if you put things together, you would have the following picture. The galactic gamma background is rather not a big worry at all at 30 or 40 keV mass spectrums, but it becomes very important, remember, because of this ninth power of in the numerator. You have some stellar constraints. There's no supernova constraints, interestingly enough, because of this thermal dumping of things. But the horizontal branch stars, where the temperature is 10 keV or so, are quite important constraints. But interestingly enough, the direct detections can be, champions of this field, right? If you ever care, right? Because you can see that this blue curve, again, obtained from naively assuming that an equivalent of WIMP signal of 100 GeV WIMP signal with 10 to minus 36 total cross section, that you can achieve the same sensitivity to vectors. Then you can set very legitimate constraints on this model, stronger than the astrophysics. This is very non-trivial, right? Because usually when you try very hard, you have some fantastic like cast experiment, and still it's very hard to compete with astrophysics balance. So this model you can. So
just to summarize, we estimated the counting rates for axion-like particles and vector-like particles, and I believe that nobody still looks at the vectors, but the axions, I'm happy to see that Cogent and CDMS started putting some bounds on that, and this is exactly the counting rate that, that goes into their formula. Well, besides searches of KV scale dark matter, I guess I forgot to say that some people actually think that KV scale dark matter is better than a TV scale dark matter because it has some implications for the structure formation at that short distance. That's so the subject. Well, besides this searches, one could use in principle the same experiments to search for solar axions, which is a very well modulated search, and you know how everything how they are emitted and so on. But you could also do some other, you know, exotic things. Like 4 or 5 years ago, Botten and Dabrowski published a paper on totally massless U1 fields. In which case the kinetic mixing is not an issue, but you can still interact with the standard model via high dimensional operators. You take a sigma mu current multiplied by v mu, and that gives a dimension 5 operator. So you can look at emission and absorption of these things from emission from the sun and absorption in the direct detection experiments, and that would be well, I suppose in some ways a legitimate target. Well, I guess one exotic but no longer so exotic particle that comes from the sun is also a solar neutrino, and of course we know everything about the fluxes of very energetic solar neutrinos in sort of boron and so on. But the most of the fluxes, of course, in neutrinos that come from the formation of deuterium, and that's that. As we saw, the sensitivity of all these experiments is poised to become better and better and better. At some point, the counting rates, the ionization from the main component of solar neutrinos, is going to become noticeable. As far as I remember, gamma is about just maybe 2 or 3 orders of magnitude away from start seeing ionization from solar neutrinos. So this might be an additional interesting thing at least to keep in mind for the future. Well, my talk was rather short because it's a rather short subject. And I just say that the dark matter that are bosons, as opposed to super weakly interacting with the standard model particles, is a logical possibility that has so far not been properly studied. Is on this vector dark matter models, there is 1.5 paper, and you know the on the neutrino. Sterile neutrino paper model, there may be 150 papers, right? But if you look at them, they're in the same class, so to speak. You know, they're both the renormalizable models that discuss their, you know, shall I call it, you know, standard model instead of new standard model. It just doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's the same possibilities. But the point is that the bosonic nature of it allows you to absorb them fully, and that enhances the cross section as opposed to the sterile neutrino where they come and they have to convert to an active neutrino to fly away. So the signal from that is much, much lower. And I just showed that the axion-like particles although we like them for best trainer, it's not such a super interesting model because the galactic gamma background is much more stringent and straight. And I also started my talk by explaining why there is no actual modulation in sigma v unless you somehow manage to maybe construct a model where the mass of the axion particle is exactly equal to the ionization threshold of some shell, right? That would be, it has to be really equal. Then you start being sensitive to the velocity effects, maybe. That looks very unlikely. And the bigger message is that with so much resources being directed towards detecting WIMP recall signal, one has to maybe consider a possibility of looking for a super WIMP absorption signal using perhaps the same experimental setups. And I'm very happy to see that they indeed Gamma and CDMS in CoreGene has started looking at some subset of the models. And like I tried to argue in the end, that you can also use this for looking for various outlandish possibilities of things being emitted by the solar interior and being absorbed. Thank you.
Can you shine light through a wall with these particles, pretty much like the axions?
No, you're not going to be very sensitive. I mean, you're not going to be. You know, with shining light through the wall, you reach like 10 to the 5, maybe 10 to the 6 inverse GeV, and you go, yeah, right? I mean, this is a lot more sensitive thing.
What do you think about the suggestion idea of Juan Collar about possible variation of the density of this particle, so it can...
I missed it. Somehow I haven't seen it. I've been in touch with
Following your paper, he wrote another paper saying something about that possible population of that matter.
That's interesting. I
can vary the density locally and then also for they can.
I was completely swept away by the Pamela business after that, right? And I didn't get my head around to think about that. But thanks for pointing this out. I will have a look. I mean, it's a possibility, right? We actually tried to think about some other things to have maybe modulation, right? If you have suppose you one day you observe this solar axioms, right? This is going to be modulated, but and time modulated with your signal, as you know very well, right? Because the sun, the eccentricity of the orbit is 1.5%, right? So the flux is modulated by 3%, but the sun and the Earth distance, actually the farthest away is in sort of 6th of July or something like this, and the closest in 6 months from that, right? So there are many things that I think that the experimenters should have a look, and they indeed you're right that I of course assume that there is no I understand that there would be some idea that throughout one rotation, right, you kind of encounter more particles on, we just assume that it's, totally uniform, right, that might be a factor. Or the technical things I want to say that the sigma V is in this particular model is a constant, but I don't think it's ever disputed.
One last question.
Could you elaborate on your supernova
thermal damping mechanism, why you don't have to worry about constraints on the instrument?
Oh, we did. We have.
I know. I just wanted to hear it.
Right, it's just the temperatures are so big, 30 MeV compared to the masses of these guys, which are at the scale of the 30 keV, right? If you scratch off the mass, right, the particles decouples from the standard model. If the right, so it's and so therefore the actually what happens, you can think of it as a mixing where the photon suddenly acquires a huge mass out of the thermal damping, right?
Oh, because it only couples to
electromagnetism. Right, if it only couples, the vector only couples to the electromagnetism, and that creates a huge damping mechanism on if you heat the system way above the mass of this particle.
You thought about other weakly coupled vectors? I mean, I thought about, for instance, a B minus L light.
It's not going to be dissimilar. It's going to be, yes, I can formulate everything in terms of very weakly gauged B minus L, which is, or maybe mu minus tau or whatever, right, symmetries that I can come up with after introducing anomalies, and many things that I said are going to be exactly in the same lines. In the end, it only matters that it's a vector particle couples to some particle for electromagnetic currents.
And then for the cosmology, to actually get the dark matter to work, do you have a preferred mass and coupling range?
Yes.
That was that black line, right?
This is a sweet spot that we're calling to us, right? But the another group, I think they recalculated it and they found that these constraints are somewhat stronger. But this is just the thermal production at the E plus E minus annihilation. This of course can all change should you have some higher dimensional operators, say, link to the weak scale, right? So you might have right. It depends where your heating temperature is and what are the dimension 8 operators or whatever dimension 6 that you can have, right? So this therefore on account of that, you know, it's let's be frank that the super weak scenario of generating that. Pardon?
You want to suppress all the higher dimension operators to get the cosmology.
Well, it has to be smaller than the reheating temperature, the normalization scale for these things, right? That's all.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you want a reheating temperature high enough to make less to get cosmology.
Right. No, yeah. But, you know, if there are high dimensional operators normalized on the scale, which is just above a couple of orders of magnitude above the reheating scale, you could still populate these things, right? And then you can drop in the coupling mode. That's all what I'm saying. It will be essentially much cooler, these, right? But
yeah.
Okay.
That can be anything more than a cup.